Welcome to GeoTalk, the podcast for geocaches down under.
In this special edition of GeoTalk from the Dubbo Long Weekend event, Pesky talks to Postman Pat, Mix catches up with some GeoWives, and we meet Team Crow. All that and more on this episode of GeoTalk. Well, welcome to episode 16 of GeoTalk. Now, apologies once again, I'm a little bit late, but I've been away out of Sydney for the last week and a bit, travelling down to Melbourne. And on the way, I stopped by Canberra and did a couple of caches up and down the Hume Highway. And it's amazing when you go looking for caches along a highway or along a drive, how many you can actually pick up. And if you're ever doing the trip between Canberra and Melbourne or Sydney and Melbourne or even some of the other capital cities, check out some of the caches that are along your highways. And you can use the find caches along a route functionality, which is in geocaching.com or in GSAC, which I've recently learned you can also use that functionality there. So it's well worth trying out. But anyway, thanks very much to those who placed the caches both in Canberra and around Melbourne and along the Hume Highway. Certainly ended up finding quite a few. I think it was 35 in the week that I was away. And for someone like me who, as I say, it's not about the numbers, it's quite a good effort. And one of the reasons why I was down in Melbourne was to partake in one of my other passions, and that's watching Aussie Rules football. Now, anyone who's outside of Australia who doesn't really have a good appreciation for what the game's about, it's a little bit like all other types of football mixed together in one, and it's a little bit crazy and fast. If you want to check out more about Australian rules football, go to the AFL's website, the Australian Football League, and that's afl.com.au. And I won't tell you who I barrack for because that might spoil it for everyone. Since the last podcast, I attended the Weapons of Mass Destruction event. Thanks very much to Home DG for organising that. It was a great event, and it came out of this sort of talk over the last few months that there's a lot of micros out there, and wouldn't it be nice to have ammo boxes again back out in the wild? And I think in total there was around about 50 or 60 ammo boxes that were brought to the event by Home DG, and they were sold off to people who had ordered them previously. So hopefully over the next few weeks in the Sydney Basin region, there'll be quite a few regular-sized ammo can caches for us to go looking for, and that'll be a bit of fun, especially as the weather slowly starts to warm up and we head back into spring. Now, speaking about events, there was an event back on the June long weekend, you might recall, held in Dubbo, and that was the Mission Impossible event. And this episode is dedicated to that event. Mix, who's a geocache you've heard a lot of in this podcast from the Hunter Valley, originally from the Dubbo region, attended that event, and he took his microphone along with him. So the three stories that you're going to hear in this particular podcast were all recorded at that Dubbo event. And to keep with the whole theme of it, the GeoTalk trivia question for this particular episode is, there have been three Geo events held at Dubbo over the past couple of years. What were the themes for each of the three? Answer to that at the end of the podcast.
This is Pesky Geomonkey, and I've been invited to do a guest interview of Postman Pat, who performed quite well at the Mission Impossible event out of Dubbo this year. How did you choose your screen?
I'm a postmaster at the Australian Post Office, which I am a licensee of, so it just generally followed from there.
And your name's Pat?
No, my first name's Ron, actually.
Oh, fair enough. So when did you start geocaching, and what drew you into the activity?
I think I first started in about 2003. I inherited a trail sailor from my father, so I got a GPS so I could sleep at night when the boat was anchored. And even the back of the book, the Garmin book, they basically said, oh, there's a thing you can do with the GPS, that's called geocaching. So I looked it up, and it all sort of went down here from there.
Uh-huh. Okay. And you've been to a few other events before. Did you find this event better than the others? Or worse than the others?
Look, I mean, from an organisation, the event's pretty good. I mean, Dubbo does a pretty good event regardless of who attends. This event was a bit better for me because basically I was managed to team up with a couple of different teams at different stages, so I wasn't going around by myself, so that sort of added to the whole thing.
Oh, cool. So do you have any interesting stories about the early days of your geocaching?
Oh, well, I suppose my first cache was in Tamworth, and when I started caching, there was only one cache within 50 cards. Now there's probably 10 or 15, most of which are mine.
Okay, and what sort of equipment do you use when you're geocaching? You still got the same GPS that you started with? Or?
Yeah, I started with a Garmin 76, just a plain bog standard Garmin, and about 2 years ago I upgraded to a CX. Then sort of I come to the event last year and I saw how everyone was using laptops, and that was all working for them, so I bought a laptop and sort of proceeded to slowly increase the amount of technology that I use.
So you pretty much carry everything you need. Do you rely on paperless caching?
Oh, I'm definitely paperless caching. My problem is that I tend to cache on a spur at the moment if I'm somewhere, and I can generally open up the laptop, get the GPS out, plug it all in, get it going, and then go find a cache. Opportunities are few and far between for me to actually go out caching.
Okay, and a lot of geocaches have signature items or trademarks or something that identifies them as who they are. Do you have anything like that?
No, I haven't got that far yet. I've pretty much tried to avoid that. It can get out of hand, I suppose.
What's your favourite type of cache? What type do you prefer to go for?
When you come to a Dubbo event, you've got to have a different mindset. So the multis and all the puzzle caches tend to be a bit beyond me, especially when I'm by myself, because I've got nobody to bounce ideas off. So traditionals tend to be my main focus, especially because there's no forward planning and getting stuff off the internet to work out puzzles and stuff like that.
You sound like you do pretty much all your caching solo. Have you ever run into another geocacher out there?
Only at events.
Only at events, too.
I've never run into another cacher actually out and about. It's one of those things that, because of my patterns and where I am, it gets very hard to meet other people.
How do you classify geocaching? Is it a sport, a hobby, a game, a psychosis?
Yeah, passion. all of the above. It's one of those things you can take and leave as you want. If you want to get into it and turn it into your life's goal, then you can do it. People won't worry about it. If you only can do occasionally, then people are just as happy for you to do that. It's not one of those things where you have to meet targets, like goals scored or anything like that in football or number of shots in golf. It's not like that. It's one of those things that you can take and leave and do as hard and as easy as you like.
And do you have any other hobbies? Aside from geocaching?
My wife goes to dog shows, which is why I took up geocaching. But I have a trailer sale, and I do try to take that out. There's no water in the dams at the moment, so it's a bit hard to push it along through the mud.
After this weekend and the hundreds of millimetres of rain we've had, maybe you can get a bit of water to put your boat into some stage.
That might be nice.
All right, well, thank you very much, Pat. That's
no problem.
Most informative.
Thank you.
G'day, this is Mix, and today I'm a thorn between two roses. I'm with Mrs. Mix and Mrs. Bronze. I'm talking to them today because we're going to call them the geocaching widows, because they're left behind when the husbands go caching some of the time. There are quite a few female cachers out there, but these are two who are only cache occasionally and who are often the ones left holding the baby, quite literally. Do any of you, either of you, have your own caching name?
No. I had attempted to get the Dubbo GOYs together, but it never panned out.
So you don't have like a Mrs. Bronze or an account on GC or anything?
No.
Okay. You have?
Yeah, I've got a GC account, just Mrs. Mix. The only time I really use it is when there's an event coming up and I'm interested in geocaching. By the rest of the time, I've probably little interest in geocaching.
Like sticking up for your husband.
Yeah. When Bronze comes in and makes an attack, and I'll come back in and have a go at Bronze.
Oh, that's our favourite sport. So.
Yeah.
Do you go caching often?
No, not really.
Yes.
Not now with another baby.
Too much trouble.
Yeah.
Only when Mix goes out, I'll go.
All right. So interesting story. You must have an interesting story about caching. Surely the bronze has fallen on his ass at some point.
I can remember when we went caching once and... Oh, to fill everyone else in, we actually have a little system with the car horn. So while I sit in the car and Mix goes off and does the caching, we have I press the horn once if I'm wondering where he is, twice if someone's approached the car, and three times, so, you know, pretty much if, you know, I'm in trouble. And I remember one time sitting there, and I've only ever used it once, and that was when Mix just wasn't coming back, and I didn't know where he was, and he was gone for ages. And he finally came back, and he'd fallen in some quicksand. And had been hanging onto the riverbank trying to pull himself back up. So that was, yeah, probably the one thing that stands in my mind, the only time I've used the car horn to hurry him along.
I don't think we need to tell that story, but anyway, you haven't thought of one?
Yeah, I can't think of anything like that. I mean, the most sticking out in my memory thing would be Bronze last June long weekend event prior to that in his underwear, swimming across the ice cold river to put a cache out. Got a few photos of that if you're interested.
We'll have to get those up for the
podcast.
Other
than that, no.
Unless you know he wears underwear. Yeah.
Do you know how to run the GPS?
Yes.
You do?
Yep. No.
No.
We just recently found out I had a backlight while I was struggling at sunset going this stupid thing. You know, they should make it with a light so you can actually see it at night until, Mix leaned
over. Don't worry, I have said that before.
Oh, there you go. I don't feel sad.
If you do decide to go caching, what motivates you to go?
I have to be in the mood.
In the mood.
For me, probably family time. It's a chance for me to kind of go out and, yeah.
See, caching for me is kind of a, oh, are you going caching? Can you take your kids? And that's a good thing for me.
Get rid of the kids.
Yeah.
What type of caches do you like then?
I like the real tricky, cryptic.
Where there's a puzzle to solve.
The lateral thinking ones.
Use your brain. Okay.
Yeah. I'm totally the opposite. I like traditional caches where you pull up, you walk maybe about 2 metres, you stick your hand into a hollow tree trunk, and there's like, it's right there. Otherwise, you know, if you have to dig or get under a tree or anything more.
You shouldn't be digging
anything. Yeah. Oh, sorry, no, as in pulling, scratching your head.
No, I'm not a fan of holes in trees.
Or... And last question, what are your family's other hobbies?
Photography at the moment.
Your wife? Photography?
I think, yeah.
I think probably geocaching's our only real kind of family hobby.
What about yourself then? What are other?
Myself, eBaying and using the internet, and they're my.
You're nodding as well.
eBaying and using the internet.
Well, thanks for talking to me.
You're welcome. No worries.
We now are the teenage members of Team Crow. I'll get them to say hello and tell us who they are.
Hi, I'm Andrew Lawrence and I'm 15.
Hi, I'm Jason and I'm 14.
Hey, I'm Brody and I'm 14.
And I'm Ross and I'm 14 as well.
Alright, so guys, you're Team Crow. Why Team Crow? Where did we get that name from?
Well, Jason's dad, he kind of got us into the event, and since he plays a lot of online games, he uses the name Chromage, and Team Crow just kind of seemed fit to...
Good name. Cool. Okay, so when did you guys start caching?
My dad learned about it and bought a GPS, just point there and go GPS, and then I invited a couple of friends along, and then it spread, and then we came to these events, and that's how we are.
So do you guys mostly just cache at events, or do you go with your dad a lot?
We go out on weekends, go on the sun.
Caching sometimes.
Yep.
Who's got an interesting geocaching story? Something funny that's happened while you're out caching? Anyone?
I guess yesterday at the night cache, we arrived at the pool and they told us to jump in and get the brick at the bottom. Anyway, I sort of took off my clothes and jumped in and I went to grab one of the little poison capsules, which was like, I think it was 75 points. But as I was surfacing, it sort of just got to me then. It was so cold that I dropped it and went up and I was shivering all over. And I could hardly lift the brick up the second time I went down. And by the time I got out, I was like full. You know, yeah, exactly. So
So what were the rest of you doing? Lawrence, what were you doing while he was in the pool freezing?
Pretty much laughing.
Laughing. And
Watching.
Yeah, then I jumped in after because Jason there... had enough and he'd already gotten back into his clothes, so I jumped in and got the red cap.
So you end up both having to get in the pool.
Yeah.
In the middle of the night.
Yeah.
What GPS do you guys use?
The first one we used was a type in the coordinates, and then it'll say that way this many meters. And the next one we used was, it's got a map built in. You can put in new maps and locations, and it's got, like, you know, a few games. And
that makes it a bit easier.
Oh, yeah. Easier.
Do you use printed out case sheets, or do you use them in like a pocket PC or something like that?
We use it with the paper.
So your paper cases?
Yeah.
You never tempted to go and get yourself a pocket PC and get all the cases in there?
Well, Jason's dad does have one, but we think it's better just to
have the paper, because then you can,
write all over it. What do you take with you when you're caching? Lawrence, do you want to answer that one? What do you take caching?
Well, warm clothes pretty much, because it gets pretty cold. And wet weather gear.
Yeah. Anything else? Any other key items?
Torches?
Yeah.
Mobile phones can serve as a good torch.
I heard you were using a mobile phone last night for a torch.
We were all going around with mobile phones.
Not quite as reliable as a normal torch, though?
Oh, no, the torches, you can shine them all the way over there whilst mobile is sort of, get down to close to the ground and, there you go.
Ran into a few stumps on the ground.
Flipped over a few times.
Yeah.
No. Oh, yeah.
What about a signature item? Do you have like a crow or something you put in cage?
Yeah. On the back of our shirts.
Team crow on our shirts and
boots. But what about in cages? Do you have like a signature item you drop in cages? You know, when you do the swap, you've got something that's a team crow item?
We don't usually, but Dad once just printed up a few calling cards if you were
like a business card?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And just had the picture of a crow and team crow on it, and on the back details and how many caches and
Have any of you guys ever hidden a cache?
I don't think the other guys have.
No.
Just me and my dad. I've hidden one or two. One was just at a beach, and the other one was somewhere.
Cool.
Yeah.
You're not gonna give it away.
Oh yeah, of course.
What's your favourite type of cache, though? Mystery, multi, traditional?
I think probably the mystery caches, because it's not just ball brawl. You have to use your brains a bit to find them. But my second favourite would have to be the multi caches, because it doesn't just stop at one and
that goes for
they all link.
A bit more of a
challenge.
Yeah.
And I guess I like the event caches that we do.
Oh, yes.
Cool, getting out and having fun with everyone else running around. Cool. If you were to change anything about caching, this is key. We could probably say you're the future of caching. When we all get too old for it, we're all in our wheelchairs and can't go out and do it. You guys are the guys who are going to keep the sport going. What would you change?
I'd say, I think it's sort of lets you down a bit when you get to a place and there's nothing.
Yeah.
So I think that everything should have nothing, because some multi caches, you go to a point, it's just got a little clue.
Yeah.
Because they should at least have something there that can, lift your spirits up a bit.
So as in something as in a physical cache item, or something worth seeing at the location itself.
Oh, yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah. There are a few that we did last night. They had nothing at the end, nothing. At some
nothing
stops.
Tangible.
Yeah.
And then that made you think you're at the wrong path, or you won't.
And that was just a big long period where we were just driving, which was
like if you've got a multi cache where it says these are your five locations, go to it and find clues at them, and if they don't have any, there should be something there just saying, wrong place, or
So when someone has a cache where there's a few trick waypoints, there should be something so that you can find. You realise it's a trick waypoint when you get there.
Because we spent some time looking for it as well, which is waste.
Okay.
I guess.
All right. And what do you call geocaching? A sport? A hobby? A game? What would you call it?
Probably sport? A sport.
What else is you guys into? What do you do?
I'm a guitarist myself. Spend a good time on that every afternoon. As a hobby.
Any other idea? What about other guys? What do you?
I do guitar as well.
Guitar? So music?
I do sport.
You get Team Crow the band, hey?
Yeah, we do have a band,
Cool. Sport?
Yeah.
What sports?
Oh, cricket, golf.
So sort of the mainstream ones.
Squash, I guess.
Yeah. So have any of you guys ever told your friends, your complete muggle friends about geocaching?
Yeah.
What was their reaction?
They want to come along, I guess. Andrew was...
So you dragged these guys along, obviously, yeah?
Yeah, this is his first event, actually.
Oh, okay.
This is my second one.
Yeah. All right. So they think it's fairly interesting, obviously, and want to get involved. Well, thanks for talking to me, guys. We'll pass that along to Spindock, and it'll end up in the podcast. Keep an eye out for it.
Cool.
Or an ear out for it.
Well, that's all from the Dubbo Long Week event. Thanks very much to Mix once again for putting all those interviews together, and everyone who contributed, who was interviewed or helped out in some way. That was really great. And if you're attending an event, why don't you take a video recorder or an audio recorder of some sort and maybe do some interviews yourself and send them forward to me at geotalk@mac.com or give us a call on the GeoTalk line. You don't even need a recording device. You can just do it over your mobile phone and call the GeoTalk number on 02-850-GEO. That's 800-50-4436. An interesting thread that I read over the past week was a question regarding archived geocaches and how can you find where they were and what they were and so forth, because a lot of people are interested in maybe placing caches where there used to be a cache, but for some reason it either disappeared or the owner was no longer interested and took it away. And I found some interesting links on the Geocaching Australia website, and I'll post one of them up there. But the interesting thing is that you can download a KML file, which you can load into Google Earth, or you can download as a GPX file and then put it into a map and check out where caches were hidden. And it's quite interesting to see which one survived and which one didn't and the stories behind them and so forth. And I've actually used it in the past to hide one that was burnt out in a bushfire and wasn't replaced. So I'll give you a link to that in the show notes. Coming up very soon is the next video edition of GeoTalk, video GeoTalk number 5. And this one was recorded in Adelaide by WebGuy, and he met up with a few geocaches over there and did a subterranean cache. And you'll see that in the next week or two and meet up with some local geocaches from the region. And to whet your appetite, here's a little snippet.
Well, here we are, another edition of Video GeoTalk. We're here in a wonderful place here in Adelaide. I've only been in Adelaide for, what, an hour, and I've already done six caches, and here we are at an easy 5-5. We thought we'd better knock it over before the rest of the weekend started. And we're here with John from Team Astro.
How are you?
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, nice to meet you too, mate.
John's actually volunteered to be a guinea pig and come and try and do this one with me. I've heard some good things about this one, so...
Yeah. I think I've been suckered, though.
Possibly.
Possibly, yes.
Well, I've been a little way into the tunnel so far, and I don't think it looks too bad, so...
Oh, it can't be that bad, then.
Let's go and see if we can find a cache.
Let's go.
No worries, let's go.
And to finish up the answer to the GeoTalk trivia question for this episode... There have been 3 long weekend events up at Dubbo. What were the themes for each of them? Well, of course, if you're listening closely, the 2007 event was Mission Impossible. In 2006, it was the Scooby-Doo Mystery Mayhem. And the first one in 2005 was the Gold Rush event. Well, that's it for this episode of GeoTalk. In the next episode, we're going to speak to one of Victoria's most prodigious finders, Axe 2 Youth Group. And I'm going to give you my 10 tips on geocaching. So until next time, safe geocaching.